Hey, garden friends. Today I'm joined by Kristen Smith of Star Roses and Plants, and we're going to be chatting about some exciting new plants that are well suited for today's garden and today's gardeners. It's a jam-packed episode, so get ready.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Kristen, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Thanks for having me, Teresa.
Now, Kristen, last year, I've got to tell you, before we start talking about things from today on, Star Roses and Plants just rocked my world with the release of the Pretty Polly series, especially Pretty Polly Pink. It bloomed all summer in a container on my patio. The pollinators were all over it all the time. I took picture after picture. I put it in vase after vase. It was just a huge win for my garden.
Pretty Polly series is a newer series introduced from us, and they're a great series, particularly the pink, like you mentioned. There are two other colors. There's a white and a lavender, and these are bred by David Slezak. So they are hardy to zone 4. The pink one, even particularly, will look even the color will be that much more intense in the fall. The color gets a lot stronger. And the other two are just a really nice light pastel colors that blend really well in the garden.
So true. Pretty Polly Lavender, I thought, had a nice fragrance too, which was a nice surprise.
They do. Not super strong, but definitely noticeable. They are polyanthas, and a lot of polyanthas aren't necessarily double, and these are actually all double flowered varieties, and they bloom in just such a profusion. So even though the individual flowers are small, they're just always loaded blooms, really good disease resistance, and compact.
We know that 2020 put us all to the test. So I'm wondering, how are things for Star?
Things are going well. We heard from the Garden Media Group that in 2021 will bring 18 to 24 million new gardeners to the industry. And so that's great. We are sold out of a lot of our bare root roses for this upcoming season. So that's great news. It just really seems like there's a resurgence in people being interested in gardening and plants. We're handling it well. It's been difficult. We've sort of had shifts of people going into the greenhouse and to try to avoid having everybody there at once and, you know, working on social distancing and things like that, which is easy when you're out in a field selecting. You can kind of keep your distance from other people. All in all, it's been going well, considering the challenges that came with 2020.
Absolutely. So glad to hear that. This morning, I was reading Joellen Meyer's newsletter. That's called The Hoosier Gardener, I think. And she started the newsletter by recounting just how things were really last March. And those memories, they just conjure up all kinds of uncertainty and fear. But I can tell you that today, I feel so full of hope. I am so ready to get in the garden. And I'm so glad there's so many people joining me.
Absolutely. I think particularly the next generation is out there and wanting to know more about plants. And I feel like I keep hearing about, you know, this term plant parents, that I feel particularly the younger generation is excited about being called plant parents and wanting to get plants that they can, you know, baby and take care of. And then just as well, the, you know, people that are established homeowners and are working from home and are, you know, just spending a lot of time at home and in their outdoor spaces are looking to improve those spaces. And so it's a great, you know, gardening is just a great activity to keep you physically active, reduce stress. So that's all positive and beneficial.
One of the memes that I saw early on last year was gardening is not canceled. In March, early March, I retired to so I could be in the garden more, so I could travel, so I could, you know, spend more time with family and friends. And I got to do one of those. So great. I mean, it just It was a gift, and I'm so glad that others are finding that. You know, you and I have been reading a lot about the trends, and we love it that garden in general is up, but people are learning more about balcony garden and containers and all kinds of things that make gardening possible for everyone at any stage of life.
Yeah, containers are a great way to get into gardening. You know, if you're an apartment dweller, you know, you don't have the space to be out there in the garden with a large amount of space, you can really do quite a lot with containers. You can get really creative with them. I mean, there's so many options these days. You don't have to just have a, you know, plain terracotta pot. There's so many different glazes and colors. And one of the things I'm really excited about as I'm getting older are the lightweight pots that are available now. So, you know, even when you fill it with soil, it's still not too heavy to move around. And there's just such a, you can get really personal and creative with containers, trying different plants and different textures and color combinations.
Oh, so true. And I love the whole growing up. I saw, you know, palettes have kind of dominated decor for some time. And I saw on Instagram, it's not anything I've tried, but I saw on Instagram how, you know, some of the young gardeners were using palettes to go up and to plant inside and tucking things here and there and just being very creative. It was just really beautiful to watch.
Yeah. And you really can't go wrong if you use the thrillers, spillers, and fillers concept with containers if you're planting multiple different varieties in those. So always wanting to have something with like a statement, you know, more upright plant combined with something with a little bit more texture and then something that's going to spill over the pot. So if you're kind of thinking along those lines, you really can't go wrong with mixing and matching all sorts of different plants.
Absolutely. You know, near and dear to my heart is the cottage garden. That's my style, although mine is huge. You typically think of those as small and intimate, but just I think the cottage garden resurgence could be just the combination of edibles and ornamentals. You know, that garden to table, you know, can include your flowers, your roses, which are edible too if you don't spray them, and all sorts of things. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about cottage gardens is, I mean, there's really no rules. I mean, you can kind of make it your own. It can be low maintenance. Like you said, I hadn't even really thought of the edible portion of it, but that's definitely kind of one of the trends that we're seeing is an interest in edibles. And I mean, what a great way to get them into your garden using that cottage garden style where you can just blend a whole bunch of different colors, textures, fragrances, and of course, edible, you know, fruits.
Oh, absolutely. I love that idea. You know, I saw people, and I've done this a bit myself, just using their rose petals and their lavender and mints and making their own teas and drying teas and just things that, you know, there's just, it's unlimited. So that whole collection of different kinds of plants can just really add so much to your life. And speaking of collections, one of the things that I have loved is hearing about your Bloomables project. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Bloomables is a new brand we've launched at Star Roses and Plants. And really the concept is that Bloomables makes it easy to have a garden that blooms all season. So we have identified our best performing roses, woody flowering shrubs, and perennials, and have put them into a category collection that will be available at retail in branded containers. And the idea is that it's a selection of plants that, you know, can, there's a varieties that will work well for the South, varieties that will work well for the West Coast. So, you know, we've identified those varieties so that, you know, it's not just kind of regional specific. It can, you know, there's plants in there that can work for all parts of the country. And these, like I mentioned, are the name kind of speaks for itself, Bloomables. So they are all highly flowering varieties that, we will flower from spring through frost. I mean, not all of the individual varieties will do that, but you can mix and match plants from those collections to have a season of blooms.
It's such a gift to gardeners to have, you've done the research. I mean, really, because I can only imagine how many hours I've spent looking at plant tags and thinking, okay, let me look. Is this good for my area? Or how long is this going to bloom? Or just knowing that we can look at bloomables and know that, hey, the work has been done. So they've made these good decisions for us. So it is just a very much an easier place to start. So well done you.
Thanks. And we are working on designing some varieties that would work well in containers, and as well as specific varieties that would work in a garden. So kind of even helping to take some of that design work off of people too, to identify varieties in certain regions and, you know, depending on their color combinations that would work well. So
yep. Just perfect. Well, speaking of plants, let's talk about these exciting new roses.
Absolutely. So the one we are most excited about is the Petite Knockout Rose. So it's been quite a few years since Star Roses and Plants has released a new Knockout Rose, and that's because the bar is set really high. Anybody that's familiar with knockouts knows the exceptional disease resistance they have, the flower power, the repeat bloom you expect from them. They're just blooming all throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. So this Petite Knockout Rose really fits that bill. It's a very compact variety, so it's going to get about 18 inches by 18 inches at maturity. And so it's really going to work in a lot of different scenarios. It can work in the landscape, in containers. We've even done some trials bringing the plants indoors. The individual blooms actually last about 4 weeks on the plant before they brown out. So they could even work indoors as a small container. So we're really, really excited about the launch of this new variety in 2021.
It is a game changer. One of the pictures that I've seen of it, it was used as a hedge. You know, you think knockout. I just couldn't even imagine because it's such a big, robust plant. But just seeing these beautiful, you know, blooms that are going to bloom constantly all summer as an edger plant, it was just beautiful.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention one of the other forms we're offering it in is an 18-inch tree form. So if you have it on your patio and you're sitting down, those blooms will be right almost at eye level. So we think it's going to make a great patio tree rose as well.
Well, another trend, I think, is topiaries. So there you have your topiary rose all put together for you. I love it, actually. What about sitting pretty? Tell us about that one.
Yeah, Sitting Pretty is going to be a Zone 4 hardy rose for those people with those really tough winters. It's one of my favorites. We've had it in research for a very long time, actually, and we saw an increase in interest in Zone 4 hardy roses, so we were able to really kind of bring it out of the research and finally make that introduction. It's a really pretty pink rose. I would say like almost kind of like an Austin form of rose, so it's a double but like a little bit looser flower form. It's fragrant. I would say it's really kind of a cross between your traditional garden rose and a shrub. So it's going to have that really attractive garden rose bloom, but with the disease resistance and habit and repeat blooming that you would expect from a shrub rose.
I think I read that the fragrance is more damask-like, which would be a huge, I would love that so much.
Yeah, it definitely is that scent, which is, it's very noticeable.
Oh, wow. That is just, I'm excited about that one. I'm going to have that one in my garden for sure. And now I'm looking at this Sunset Horizon, this bright beauty Floribunda.
Yeah, Sunset Horizon starts with really bright, brilliant yellow blooms. And then the outside of the petals, depending on the season and the climate, can be kind of like a cherry red to a deep red color. So it's got that nice kind of two-toned bicolor effect. And then as the flower ages, it'll turn almost completely cherry red or deep pink. And this rose is really a standout and much more striking in the spring and fall seasons. So the blooming will slow down a little bit through the summer months and not be, the color contrast will not be quite as dramatic. But it's really the color combination really makes it a showstopper for sure.
I bet planted in mass, it is just outstanding.
Yeah, and it's performed really well down in the South as well, which is we do trialing all around the country, and this variety can really take that heat and humidity conditions they have down in the South, which is really exciting.
Well, it certainly is a pretty one. And another beauty is Enchanted Peace that's new this year.
Yeah, Enchanted Peace is a traditional hybrid tea rose. If anybody's familiar with Love and Peace, this variety is similar, but it performs really well on its own roots. So our company for quite a number of years now has been producing roses primarily on its own roots. There's a few older standby varieties that are still budded, but certainly in research, at least, we're not trialing anything budded. Everything is initially trialed on its own roots. And so this variety performs very well on its own roots, but also has that really strong bicolor combination of yellow and orange with a little bit of pink on the outer parts of the petals as the flower ages. It's also has really dark green and glossy foliage. The new growth is really deep burgundy in color, which really helps make that color, the flower color, stand out. It's a nice color combination.
It really is stunning. It looks like, you know, the typical florist rose. It really is stunning with that bit of yellow. And it does remind me so much of the other Love and Peace. And I've read that it's ideal for containers. It would be so pretty. I can imagine this on a patio or, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful rose. Well, those are some things that we certainly have to look forward to in the rose world. But you have so much more to talk to us about. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is this new lilac. You know, many of today's gardeners, they have amazing memories of lilacs in their grandmother's garden. But the old-fashioned varieties, they just don't fit in the new smaller gardens. So I'm hoping that this one's going to be an answer to that. So tell us about this new lilac.
Sure. So New Age Lavender, there's actually two. We're working on developing a series. So there's a white one right now and a purple one. They are more resistant to powdery mildew than some of the older varieties, which is great. A lot of the older varieties, as we all know, you get that, you know, amazing show in the spring, and then that's kind of it for the season. So this variety has a much higher tolerance to powdery mildew, hardy to zone 4. It's got those traditional lilac blooms you would expect with that intense fragrance, which is amazing. I feel like there's some other lilacs that have come on the market as new, and they have their you know, features and benefits that are great, but, you know, I feel like they've lost some of the fragrance. So these varieties have retained that great fragrance that you would expect from a lilac.
I love that, not only its size, but just saying that it's going to be disease resistant. So often, because of the mildew and the size of the plant, it gets pushed out to the edge of the garden or away from where you're actually living, because it's not going to be pretty all year. And, you know, it's, you know, has those issues, and it's just so big. So this is just perfect because we can bring up close and personal those beautiful flowers and a beautiful bush.
Absolutely. And the other key feature about this variety is the habit. It's a little bit better branching. Again, some of the older lilacs kind of tend to have just a few main trunks that, you know, particularly if it has really bad powdery mildew, that you kind of end up with these naked stems. And this variety is going to have like a nice full habit, nice dense. So that's attractive as well.
This next plant is something I have a lot of clematis, but I don't have a shrub clematis. That's very new to me. So, and a clematis that blooms all summer long. So tell us about this one.
Yeah, Clematis Sapphire Indigo is a really special plant. Like you mentioned, it's a ground cover clematis. So it's really going to be something that you kind of want to plant interspersed among your kind of shrubs towards the front of the border, and really just let it ramble through the garden. We've had it in our demonstration garden at Star Roses and Plants, rambling through some of the Madeland roses, particularly some of the drift roses. It looks really nice because I can think of imagining sweet drift with the really pretty pink blooms, and then the Clematis Sapphire Indigo with these really deep indigo colored blooms. That color combination is really attractive. And this variety will start blooming for us in the Mid-Atlantic in June, and will really continue to rebloom all the way through September, which is amazing for a clematis. It's hardy to zone 4. It's a really great, exceptional variety.
I'm looking at a picture, and I think it is probably sweet drift. I have a lot of sweet drifts, and it's just nestled up to them. It is just stunning. You know, so many people are looking for blue flowers, and this is just this beautiful bluish purple from this picture. It's just really stunning. I mean, this could be a game changer just for something to pair with your roses for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've got more blue to talk about. The new bluebeard. Is it Caryopteris? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, it's Caryopteris Grand Blue. And this is a great variety for late summer and into the fall. So particularly for pairing with roses, I think, because as we know, roses will continue blooming, particularly the newer varieties, through the summer and into the fall months. And Grand Blue is, like you said, another blue, which is a great combination for a lot of rose varieties. It has the foliage is dark green. It's got almost like a little bit of a gloss to it, which really offsets those deep blue flowers. So this has been another favorite of mine for many years, actually.
Oh, I have it in my garden, some bluebeard, and it is beautiful. And the pollinators go, it's just a feast for them. And late in the years when many other things have stopped blooming. So it is really a workhorse. I'm very excited about this one too. The Russian sage crazy blue.
Yeah. So Perovskia crazy blue. As you mentioned, the common name for Perovskia is Russian sage. This variety is a little bit more compact than some of the original Russian blue sages that have been on the market. The color is a deeper blue as well than some of the older varieties. The cool thing about this one is the branches almost interlace a little bit amongst themselves, which help it stay a little bit more upright. If anybody's grown some of the older Russian sage varieties, they can kind of tend to get big, and particularly if you have a lot of rain, will flop over later in the season. So this one will stay a little bit more compact and upright, which is really great for just having lower maintenance in the garden.
Absolutely. And the airy look of this is very, very pretty. Very heat tolerant. I had it in my garden many years ago. And as you said, it did flop over. It was very tall, not this size at all, and very tall. And it was quite floppy. So for those of us trying to keep a little more order in the garden and still have these beautiful blue spikes, this would be just a real nice one to have for sure. Let's see. Now we have a couple more plants that I want to talk about. They're not in the Bloomables collection, but I was someone who was raised in the South, and one of my favorite plants in our garden were two Nandinas outside my mom's kitchen window. But that variety just never would grow up here. We took cuttings and we tried, but it just wouldn't work. So there's something new, Tuscan Flame.
Yeah, so Nandina Tuscan Flame is a new, more compact variety. The new growth on it is dark red. And that dark red color will last almost throughout the season. It will eventually mature to green, but then the next year you'll have that resurgence of new growth again with that dark red color. And this variety is hardy to zone 5. So it's a great new Nandina for today's gardens.
Very pretty, very pretty, very striking. Now, our next one is for all of us who fell in love with the English rose gardens lined with boxwoods, and now we're seeing them struggle with boxwood blight. I was actually dealt with that. We lost 15 or 17 boxwoods that lined a part of our garden and happened right here in Indiana. So there's something new that's going to help us with that and help us to enjoy our boxwoods, which look so pretty with our roses.
Yeah, Little Missy boxwood is a microphylla type. So the individual leaves are a little bit smaller than you'd expect from your traditional boxwood variety. They're also really dark green and really glossy. So it's just a really attractive boxwood variety, which is compact in size. The plants we've had in trials, we really have not sheared or trimmed. So it really will stay compact without that extra maintenance of trimming. It's hardy to zone 5. And like you mentioned, it's gone through some trials and has performed really well in terms of performing well to be highly resistant to boxwood blight, which is really, really promising. Like you mentioned, it can be really, particularly if you've had, you know, boxwoods for a long time in the garden, to see them decline and fall out from that can be quite disappointing. So I think this variety is just a great variety just as it is. But then on top of that, having that resistance to boxwood blight is just a huge bonus.
I love the idea that, you know, only gets to about, you know, 2.5-3 foot tall and not a lot of pruning, because the others were, you know, they would get to 8 foot if we didn't keep them pruned. So, bought those many, many years ago and did a lot of pruning. So hearing all of this is just really good news to me. Well, actually, Kristen, my head is spinning. I mean, you have given us so much to think about and to plan with and be excited about. My personal list is getting longer and longer, which surprises no one, especially my husband. So this has just been great.
I've had a great time talking about plants with you today, Teresa.
What is better to do in March? For most of us, we can't do too much out in our garden. So we just thank you so much for coming today. And please say hello to Jacques and all of our good friends at Star Roses and Plants.
Will do.
Now, friends, spring is just around the corner. And most of us are now armed with information to make some great choices. So until next time, happy planning.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.